This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 627. And this is part two of Insights into Zenusness. We're talking about the difference between Polynesians and Haoles. Haoles, probably, is how it's said, I believe. I think I put too much emphasis on it. It sounds like Haoles when an American says it. And it's more Haoles. Haoles. I'm not exactly sure exactly how it's done. There's a glottal stop in there, which is really hard for Americans to do. The English language has no glottal stops. Other languages do, and of course because of our obvious superiority over all other things. I hope you know I'm being facetious. I don't believe that to be true. You know, that we always have to alter things to fit the way we can speak instead of taking the time and the effort to try and do a decent glottal stop. Haoles. I'm not sure I got it right there, but I think I'm a little closer than most. Anyway, the difference is between those two is what we were talking about last time. And now, kind of taking the same tack, the differences between the Zenoi and Straits. Zenus is the singular. It's a Greek word. It stands for stranger, foreigner, alien. In reference to a person. The Zenoi is the plural. If there is a group of strangers or a group of aliens or stuff like that, they would be called the Zenoi. So when I talk about, and I came up with the term just simply because I was getting tired of being called autistics, because that is a real focus on disability. You don't usually get the term autistic. Only recently have they started giving that term to people who didn't have any real, you know, overt problems. Like I said, my son Matt, if you were to use Zenus with Matt, it would be he is a Zenus with a disability. You know, you call him autistic. There's some very high-functioning autistic people or Asperger's or whatever term you want to stick on it, which isn't really very correct. I just call those people Zenus without a disability. Of course, we don't refer typically to people for their lack of something, so we just call them Zenus. You are a Zenus. You belong to the Zenoi. X-E-N-O-I is the plural. Z-E-N-O-S is the singular of it. So, there you go. Okay, just in case you guys want to know what we're talking about. If you want a ton more insights, you can go to the archives page. There's whole swaths of episodes that are about Zenusness and how I've been playing with that. And I've never really gotten down to specific things because I've never had any real feedback about Zenus. How do people feel? What do we have in common, those who have already found a common ground and have proclaimed that there is an autistic culture? I'm willing to honor that, and I think everybody should, because I think it's honest. Of course, I'm the one who's saying, let's give ourselves another word. Let's give ourselves another term, not one that's based on shared disabilities or shared social quirks or whatever, but one built on the fact that we have shared abilities. There's something that we have in common. You know, you call witches because they seem to all have this ability. Now, whether it's learned or inherent, you know, that's always something interesting. Natural witches, yeah. And I'm not into that stuff. I don't use it because I'm trying to promote the whole concept of witches. what I am talking about is that, you know, you tend to make a term over something positive, about the positive aspects of Zenithness. You know, ability to concentrate, ability to be obsessive. And we take obsessiveness as being a positive rather than a negative. You know, our culture, being obsessive is a bad thing. We call it a disability. You know, obsessive compulsive disorder is a disorder. It's not right. We need to work on this. Stop being obsessive. And we say, you know what? There's something to being obsessive. And we tend to see that as a positive trait among us. I know that doesn't make us very well-rounded. I know that means that if you were to really start honoring Zenith and there started to build up maybe a community around it, that you would have to import people to do lots of the mundane chores. You know, we would need housekeepers to keep track of things. You know, Zenith people really appreciate dorm living. You know, the kind of thing that, what exactly would you say it was? They would appreciate a boarding house, but a boarding house that wasn't trying to force you into being some kind of a socialite. We don't have boarding houses very much anymore. They have been exorcised from our culture, I would have to assume, would be the right way to say it. And that's a shame, because that's something that I think a person who is a part of the autistic culture, a person who is a Zenith, would really like. So, you know, I kind of look at it that way. Things like that. It's a shame that we didn't all come from an island somewhere. Because if we did come from an island somewhere, people would treat Zenith people so much differently. They'd treat them more like Polynesians. Of course, Polynesians have a rich cultural life that they hopefully are hanging on to. Like I was saying before, one of the most vital things about a Polynesian person is that they can't lose their culture, because their culture is, you know, makes them so close to God. You know, if you were to say that some group or another could be declared God's children, it would not be Westerners, as far as I'm aware. We have tended to abandon God, or we've tended to create our own gods without really consulting with God what He wanted us to do. That's never been our way at all, you know. Ours has always been, well, you know, this is the way we are, you know. And those Polynesians, if nothing else, boy, do they cling tenaciously to their Heavenly Father. To the point to where if you start giving him crap about it, you'll get a very indignant one. And let me tell you, you don't want an angry Polynesian on your hands. I've seen them angry. You don't want to be anywhere near them. And thank goodness that by nature they're pretty good natured, you know. Actually, they're excellent that way. At least the ones I have met, they've been wonderful. Now, these are people that have either come from Hawaii or from the islands themselves. I think when they come to our country, there can be some sort of a problem if they become too invested in the way things are here. If you stuff a big Polynesian guy into a suit and, you know, send him to work in an office building, you're going to start losing going to start losing his Polynesian-ness. I think perhaps we're starting to see that. When people try to get integrated into what they consider to be a successful life. It's like, don't call that success. Don't particularly encourage them. It's a choice that they have if they want to do this, but you shouldn't, you know, the natural allure of money and trinkets and little doodads that we have in the West is bad enough. We shouldn't, as a rule, be encouraging these people to behave that way, because they will lose what's wonderful and special and spiritually incredible about them. We don't want to do that. So when I go back to Venus, I see an already crushed people. If you want to know what will happen to a Polynesian if they hang out in Western society too long and try to fit in, that's what autism is. That's what you'll see. A bunch of vaguely weird, jerky people who are actually something else, but they're almost caught between gears. They don't feel like they're authentic enough to go back to their heritage, you know, to being a Polynesian, a Samoan, or a Fijian, or whatever they once were. They don't feel like they can go back. They don't feel like they'll be accepted by their own people, which is sad. But because they've got these weird issues, you know, they don't fit in with Westerners. They tend to get marginalized, sidelined, you know. All the things that we think are the most important things, you know, rising in a corporation, for instance, going from being the mail boy up to being the CEO, the things that we think are the most important aspects of our culture, the things that we tend to honor, they can't do. That's okay. Neither can autistics either. We are like people who have trade their souls for something else, and you know, now it isn't really a question of going back. You know, autism is something that's with you always. You can try to hide it to varying degrees. That Venusness, you know, that's why I try to separate saying you're autistic from saying that you're Venus. Because, you know, autism means you're disabled by things. Zenith means you're strengthened, you're enabled by things. You may still have disabilities. Nobody's saying that there isn't. But you put those disabilities in context, not glom the whole enchilada, the whole person together, called autistic, and say it's all wrong, and we need to kill off all this stuff. That's why obsessive compulsive is considered to be a horrible trait that we must root out. Of course, I don't hear about anybody trying to cure obsessive compulsive. You know, people say, well, it's just something that you have that you have to deal with. We can give you some drugs so that you don't, so that, you know, you can manage it better. I really wish they would feel that way about autism instead of trying to cure it. Anyway, Zenith is trying to break out those traits that are that we consider good from those that we consider truly debilitating, and say there's a Zenith part of you and there's a disability part of you. And of course, I guess the Holy Grail is we're looking for Zenith people that aren't disabled. And I guess if nothing else, I guess I'm trying to be one of those guys. Jay, you know, Jay's different. We can document the fact that Jay is really different from everybody else. But we can't for the life of us see a disability over it. You know, it would really be even great if I was more successful. You know, then it's like, oh yeah, you know, if I got popular, and probably not over the whole issue of Zenith, if it was popular for some other reason. That would be the best of all worlds. You know. Then I could say something like, well, my name's Jay, and I'm a Zenith. And everybody would have to say, well, you know, he's a pretty brilliant and successful guy. Therefore, whatever he says must be true. Now, we always have a bunch of, what do you call them? Experts who will poo-poo those kinds of things. That's what makes them very, very happy. And, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go back the way that I came. Let's see if we can get over here. Get off the side of this road. Get out of this guy's way who's coming down the road. And so I can find down the road. I see some interesting stuff down there. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that consists of. See if I can get to the Ivory Road from here. Anyway, Zenith. Yeah, it's almost like it could have been a culture, but it never had the chance because it just was never a unified people, like living on an island or living in a certain place. And you know, so it never got the joy of ever being a culture. What it ends up being is the damaged end of a culture. You know, like what might happen if a Polynesian or somebody like that who had a rich cultural life that they came from that almost defines what they are. Wholesale tried to get away from their culture and tried to be something else, but it just wasn't quite working. I think that is kind of what I'm talking about here. So if something else, Zenithness, which is my take on the autistic culture, you know, those are the groups I speak to about these kinds of Zenith issues. I'm shaking like a freaking leaf. This thing is a washboard road. It's getting a lot of use, too. Anyway. Zenith, I think, almost is kind of a biological culture. I almost tend to think of it as another race. And I think I've talked about this before. It's almost kind of a weird, interesting sub-race. Because of its uniqueness. I mean, there are black people with autism. There are oriental people. I don't want to call it that way. There are Caucasians, there are Negroids, there are Mongoloids. Each one of these groups has autism in it. I think that's kind of what shields it from definition that might be more useful to those who are Xenos. Because, you know, it doesn't fit the classical thing. It's not a culture because it doesn't come from a certain region or share a certain language or food or things like that. It isn't really a race because there isn't really obvious facial structure or skin color differences. It's something else that is kind of like those, but then again not. That's why the whole term autistic culture is trying to describe something, but I think you need to go a little deeper and you'll start to see different connections that make different kinds of sense, which is what I've been trying to do with Xenos. Xenos is the stranger. I almost wonder if it isn't not a misplaced, but somebody who was supposed to be on another world and got sent to this one for some reason. God has his reasons for everything he does. You know, people say, oh, this isn't God. God's not interjecting in this. And I tend to disagree. I think the big, huge explosion of people who are diagnosed with autism, you know, people say rather easily and off the cuff, oh, well, we just have better techniques for identification. And I'm sorry, I think that's bunk. I really do think there are more autistic people now than there have been in the past. I do think there is an explosion. It's not just due to better identification. I think Heavenly Father is sending more of his Xenos children at this time for whatever his reasons are. There may be a purpose for us being here. And that's got to be true a lot, just because that's how God normally does. He normally sends people at certain times and places to accomplish things. Or that the conditions are right on this world for people like us. You know, it might be that too. Either way, I put it down to being, you know, just a different kind of person, period. Able to do unique things that other people might struggle to do. Now, I don't know if I'm just describing myself and I'm unique, or if I'm part of a group. I'm desperately always trying to look for that group. Not to be their leader particularly, but just to find where I fit in, where my peer group is, because I haven't found that particularly yet. For all I know, my brother and I are a whole lot more alike than we like to think. We've obviously gone in different directions at times, but I think we still have something good to offer each other. I think we do. Oh. So that's kind of my thing, you know. Xenos is like a culture that is in the death throes. People who are constantly confused, befuddled about where they fit in. Castle, huh? It's got a cemetery and it's got a little church. Interesting. Regardless. I'm really, you know, it really makes me wonder. It ends up being really interesting to me to ponder this, because it's like, am I just a whole totally different people? You know, do we have different mothers? Do I have a different mother than everybody else does? I don't know. And I'll leave it at that, because people will go, what does that crack mean, Jay? Some people will get it, some people won't, and I'll just leave it there. I don't know if I really have anything else to particularly add to that. What else is there to say? I can't think of very much else. I would like, okay, let me say this, because I haven't said this to a few things, you know. I'm still doing my speaking stuff. Don't ever think that I've given up on that. 46100, oh wait, area code 575-461, sorry, wrong phone number, 2716-0077 it's not a BBS, it's dial-up quicks. I'm getting a little less used, rougher road here. Interesting looking stuff, though. It's always interesting to go down these country roads, the ones that last a long time, and just to see what's back there. Contact me. 575-461-2716 if you want to have, you know, if you want me to come speak with your group. If you want to give me feedback, or if you just prefer email contact when it first happens. I understand communication sometimes somewhat tricky, and for a lot of people it's more convenient to send an email. Some people get very embarrassed by the fact they have problems communicating vocally. I understand that. That seems to be a disability that many Zeniths have. That many autistics have. You know, use whatever term you will on this. And, feel free to do it to the email address. The email address is autism, AUTISM, at quicks, QUIX.US. And I'll be glad I'll be glad to hear from you. I don't know if I'll respond. I do get quite a few emails, and from all kinds of different people. But please, please, contribute. Even if it's enough just to say, hi, Jay, you know, I listened to the podcast, it's quite interesting, or you're a complete nutter boob, you know, whatever, I'd be glad to hear from you just to get some feedback, just to get kind of a rough count as to how many people we have listening to this. I know it fluctuates wildly, you know, it goes up, it goes down. I'm trying to put myself on as many lifts as I can. So that varies a whole lot, you know, as to whether I'm on this list or I'm on that list. I'm coming up on Jordan or Ima. Take your pick. I think it's Ima. This isn't a half bad way to get from here to there. If I'm going from Clovis to Santa Rosa, I think I may take this road as an alternative to the other one that I typically take. That could be pretty good. Anyway, so... Oh, ouch. Ugh, my ears are starting to hurt. That's all I really have for this one. Besides, you know, I would love some feedback. If you just listen to the show and you don't have any comment to make, just feel free to send me an email that says, I'm here and I'm listening. I would love to hear that, too, because I would like to get some kind of a count, how many people we have. I don't really have a particular tracking methodology. I keep logs, but, you know, those logs don't necessarily count how many unique people go out and get the downloads, the podcast. Lots of big rocks. So anyway, I think I'm pretty much done with this. It wasn't as long as most of them, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. Please feel free, if you want me to come and speak to your group about anything that I talk about on the podcast or about anything else. I've got insights into a lot of stuff that sometimes doesn't make it into the podcast because I don't think it's that interesting to other people. Feel free. If you want a fresh take on almost any subject, I can usually give you that, whether you really want it or not. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening. Oh, and let me give you the contact thing. If you want me to come speak to you, contact me by phone at area code 575-461-2716. If you want to if you just want to leave a comment, if you just want me to tell, you want me to know that you're out there listening, if you just want to make a comment and you don't really want anybody to just, you know, come back and make your life miserable, the phone number for that is... Whoa! Okay, I'm back on pavement. the email address to just to contact to say hi, just a real quick little note, is autism, AUTISM, at quix.us. And have a wonderful day.